verse 10. It says, and the apostles, when they returned, told them all that they had done. Mm-hmm. Now, in the book of Luke, he doesn't go into what they actually said, but they came back and told him, listen, everything you said would happen did happen. Demons are subject to us in your name. And he told them, he said, now, he goes, but calm down, because just rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now go over to Luke chapter 10. So there he anoints the 12, and he puts his mantle or his anointing on them, and they got the same results that he got. So go over to Luke chapter 10. Okay? It says, and after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. So first he put his mantle on the 12. Now he's putting, those 12 have come back, and now he's putting his mantle on the 70. Do you think he's trying to make a point? Do you think he's trying to make sure that everybody understands that his mantle works whether it's on him or on someone else? Now let me make this point. No man can give you their mantle. No man can give you their anointing. The anointing comes from God. But now, I don't know if I explained this last time, but in this particular time, Jesus was transitioning the Old Testament church to the New Testament church. So he did this to show them the potential that they had. So in verse 10, it says, he anointed the 12 before his face. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two, before the face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Now go on down to verse 17. Now the 70, they're returning. Now in this rendition, he tells you what they said. And the 70 returned again with joy. Now what does again mean? So apparently he sent the 12 out with the 70. So he's saying everybody now came back. They're now back at the home base. And he said, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even devils are subject to us in thy name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now look at verse 19. And behold, I give unto you power. Now the word power there is the word dunamis. We get our word dynamite. That's creative working power. I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all of the power, but not the same word. The word here is ability. So he gave you dunamis. He gave you God working power over the ability of the devil. Come on now, somebody. Amen. You have ability over the devil. Now, here's what he told me to tell you this morning, this evening. The same way that anointing worked on them, those 12 and those 70, that same anointing works on you exactly the same way. Nothing has been diminished. If he was upset with them when they couldn't cast that devil out, guess where he's going to be with you if you're going to cast him out? Don't shout me down now. I'm preaching real good if you're a pastor. Amen. Come on now. Amen. If you're not ruling and reigning over, now watch what he says here. Go back up to verse, I think it's verse 1. No, I don't want that one. Go back to chapter 9. And he gave them power and authority. Mm-hmm. Folks, you have dunamis power and you have authority over all devils and demons. Amen. And you can cure all manner of diseases. Amen. Now, don't let some good long-term Christian try to talk you out of it. I said, don't let them talk you out of it. Now go back to chapter 10. He's working this for some reason. Sorry, go over to Matthew 17. There we go. I'm sorry. See, I'm in the airport, but I got to land the plane. Come on, somebody. Now, verse, go down to verse 20. Now, what happened is he rebuked them, and now he's explaining to them why he rebuked them. And they ask him privately, why couldn't we cast out this devil? Verse 20, he says, the reason you couldn't cast out was because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you had faith of granted from mustard seed, you say this mountain, remove his yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing, Amen. I said nothing, Amen. Shall be impossible unto you.
Amen.
That mantle that he put on them, he told them, nothing will be impossible unto you. I'm telling you tonight, the anointing that is in you from the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the believer. How many know what the anointing of the believer is? What is it? The anointing of the believer is when Jesus said, in my name, you will cast out devils, you will speak with new tongues, you'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. That is the anointing of the believer. So the thing is this. If you're not doing that, you're not walking in the anointing that he gave you. You're walking in something different than he gave you. Now, I get it. You may say, but Pastor, I've tried. I get that. So what do you think is keeping you from that? Do you really think God is going, no, I don't really want Eric to have this anointing. I got something about Eric just ticks me off. You know, Eric's a good guy, Elvin, but I just don't want Eric to walk in that kind of anointing. He gets big-headed. He gets bold and brash. I just don't want Eric to walk in it. Do you really think that's what God is saying to Eric? No. Is he saying that to you? What will he tell you? Well, go back up to verse 17. This is what he's going to tell you. God, I believed you for that $1,000. I believed you for that money, but it didn't happen. He's going to tell you this. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And then you're going to say, well, God, I believe I prayed. How come it didn't happen for me? And he's going to go down to verse 20 and says, because of your unbelief. Yes. Because of your unbelief. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you a question. Why, and I want the biblical definition, why do we fast? Do what now? Those are good answers, but that you're flying around the airport now. I want you to land the plane. Why do we fast? See, until you know why you fast, you may not be. You're fasting for what? What are you fasting for? I've had people say, well, you can fast for other people. Yeah, you can fast and believe God for your prodigals and things like that. But why do you fast? What makes fasting so effective? Let me ask you a question. Does fasting change God?
No.
So why do you fast? If it don't change God. Say what? Okay, well, since, let me ask you this. Give me the text that would give you the answer.
Romans 8:10.
Romans 8, chapter 10. And what did Romans 8, chapter 10 say?
If Christ be in you, is he in you?
I'm born again.
Then the body is dead because of sin.
No.
The body is dead because of sin.
Right.
And the spirit is life because of righteousness.
Because of righteousness. So that is a position. How many of you know what positional truth is? Positional truth is I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I've been placed far above all principality and power and dominion and might. I've been given a name that's above every name. Those are positional truths. Okay? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Those are all positional truths. Those are things that Jesus provided for me. And he provided for me a positional truth called death. And he provided for me a positional truth called life. Now, not alive. There are people in hell that are alive. So he's not talking about alive. He's talking about life. What do I mean by life?
The Zoe
kind, the God kind of life that flows. seated in heavenly places. But the life that I'm talking about is, it's the life that was in Jesus, the life when God, how many heard my sermon on Adam was not created, he was born? How many remember that message? It created a little bit of controversy. See, Adam's body was created from the dust of the ground. I agree with that 100%. But where did he get his spirit from? See, everybody thinks that God breathed into Adam. You think God breathes? Why does God need to do something that he made for us? What God did was he reached into himself and he pulled out this thing called spirit and he put it in Adam. That's what the writer was trying to say, that God put himself, took out of himself and put that in Adam. Well, when Adam fell, when God put that Zoe life in him, he had authority. What did it say in the book of Genesis? Genesis 1, I think it's 1:5 or something like that. Say, you know, I've given you dominion and authority over all the fish of the sea, all the animals. You have dominion. Well, we still have that dominion. God never took that back. It's just that man gave it away to Adam. Well, Jesus came to the earth, died in our place. Yes, ma'am. Man gave it to Satan. Excuse me. Adam gave it to Satan. I'm sorry. But Jesus came from heaven, came in the form of a child through the birth canal, and then he grew up, and he went and died on a cross. But it wasn't a murder, it was a crucifixion. What do I mean by that? What I mean was, it had to be a sinless person. He had to be sinless. A man with sin could not fulfill the law. It had to be someone that had fulfilled the law, and he was totally without sin. That was Jesus. So when he died, he became the ultimate sacrifice that paid the law in full. Paid it off. Paid it off. Paid it in full. Amen. Then Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he turned around and he gave you that authority that he brought, that he gained in heaven. Okay? You now have that authority. So when Jesus put that mantle on them, when he came and sat down the right hand of God, at that very moment, anybody that got born again, anybody that believed in Jesus, had the exact same authority. Now, what I'm talking about tonight is not the authority. I'm talking about, why don't the church walk in more of the authority? Well, the reason why we don't walk in more of the authority is because of flesh. And as long as you're wearing this body, you're going to have a flesh. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus have a flesh?
Yes.
Okay. When do you see his flesh? It's two times that you see his flesh. You see evidence of his flesh. What were those two times? When did those two times happen? The Bible says he was full of the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost led him out in the desert, and he fasted. Why did he fast? He was going to fight the same fight that Adam fought when Adam fell. The devil, Jesus did not go out in the desert and fight some low-lying devils. No, not the ones that you and I deal with. See, we deal with devils like the Bible says, I think in Ephesians says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. See, those are the different classifications of those devils. Well, Jesus didn't wrestle with any one of those four. You know who he wrestled with?
Satan himself.
And Satan tempted him in three areas. Those three areas were spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, did Jesus win the battle? There. I'm setting you up now. I'm setting you up. See, everybody says, yeah. But trust me, that's the reason why he's giving you authority over all the power of the enemy. Because he defeated Satan himself. That defeat was perfect. What does perfect mean? It means you can't improve. Well, I'm not saying the biblical the biblical definition of perfect is mature. But I'm, when I say perfect, I mean it cannot be improved upon. It cannot be improved upon.
Wow.
What Jesus did when he went out there and fought the devil, he defeated him totally.
Amen.
He defeated him totally. Now, the devil thought he had him when he got him in the hell. Now, there are some people say, well, Jesus went to hell. If he didn't go to hell, he didn't pay your price for your sin. He didn't pay the price. Why? Because that's where you were headed. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
Pastor, you're preaching real good. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Appreciate that. I need some encouragement around this crowd.
Amen.
But the thing is that if he didn't go to hell, then you still got a debt to pay.
Wow.
But he paid your debt in full.
Amen.
He went to hell for you.
Amen.
Now, people say, well, he didn't go to hell. Well, he went somewhere down there. I don't know where it was. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, I forget where it is, it says that it describes Jesus down there going, help me, help me. Talks about worms or maggots just crawling all over him and eating on his flesh and eating on him.
Wow, that's Jesus?
That's Jesus. He had to go to hell. Listen, when he went to hell, oh, the party was on. Because he had whipped the devil in the desert. So now the devil goes, oh, I got you. I don't know how, but I got you now. Because why? My life is to pick up or lay down, and no man or no devil can take it from me.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus had to lay down his life. I believe if Jesus had not said, into your hands, I dismiss my spirit, he'd have hung up there for another 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
He had to die. He was immortal. He could not be killed. I mean, you can go through the Bible, the New Testament, you can see several times where they wanted to stone him, throw him off of a cliff, and they just walked right by him. They couldn't. Where did he go? You couldn't kill him. You couldn't kill him. Now, I'm not saying that you are immortal. What I'm saying is, spiritually, you have the same properties that Jesus had when he walked the earth. The exact same properties. And you should be resisting the devil in those areas. Every single day, you ought to be exercising your authority and exercising your dominion over him in every situation.
Amen.
You should not go, well, you know, I had one person tell me this week, well, you know, we have things like cancer and it's because we eat wrong. Okay. I guess the world has convinced us that, you know, It has more power than the life that's in us.
Mm.
Has it?
Yeah.
No, there's no more. There's no greater power in you than that power, that life that's in you. There's no greater power. There's no greater power.
Amen.
You've heard me say this before. I'll say it again. You know how I'll die? I'm not going to die of no disease.
Amen.
I'm gonna sit down one day and tell my family, listen, I'm ready to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Love y'all. See you on the other side. Deuces. I'm checking out tomorrow morning. I'm gone. And I'm going to go to sleep and be gone.
Amen.
I'm not going to have somebody changing my diaper. I'm just not going to do that.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that that's anything wrong with that. It's just not for me.
Amen.
Why? Because I believe I have authority.
Amen.
And I'm going to exercise my authority.
Go ahead now.
And I'm going to use that authority.
Amen.
Okay? So when Jesus was taken out in the desert for those 40 days and 40 nights, he was preparing himself for that fight.
Mm-hmm.
He was putting his flesh, he was making sure his flesh was not going to rise up the way Adam's did.
Amen.
And because Jesus was tempted in all three areas, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the three areas that man deals with. People say, well, I don't have those issues. Yeah, you do. You know, when someone says something bad about you and you don't like it and you get upset and say that they don't have any business talking to me like that. You know what that really is? That's self-exaltation.
Mm.
Don't shout me down now. What you're saying is I deserve to be treated better than that. And I'm here to tell you, the only reason why they treat you that way is because that's already in you. It's not them. Y'all got real quiet on me. That's in you. It's not in them. People that make you upset, I get it. They get on your last nerve. I get it. That's because you're still sensitive in those areas. You have to grow up. You have to die. That's your flesh telling you, that's just driving me up a wall. What am I going to do about this? Well, I can tell you what I would do if I were you. I'd go on me a little fast. I'd go on a little fast. I'd go on a 3-day fast and come off of it and eat a couple of days. And if you're still acting that way, go right back on it. And I'd do that for 30 days and I'd look and say, no, am I getting any better or am I getting any worse? And by the way, 3-day fast, I'm not going to tell everybody to go on it. First thing before you start fasting is you always want to make sure you consult your physician, make sure you're in good enough health. Okay. And I only say that because I don't want anybody to get in trouble with their health. And they say, well, Pastor told me to fast. No, get yourself checked out first. But there are all kinds of fasts. You can do a juice fast. You can do a fast where you just drink some non-acidic juices like apple juice and grape juice. What I'm going to be doing next week is I'm going to be doing a little bit of water with a little bit of honey and a little bit of lemon. And I'm going to drink that on my fast. But see, the thing is, you don't let anybody judge your fast. Your fast is between you and God.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to say this again. I'll keep saying it every time I talk about fasting. Until you can hear from God, you've got no business going on a 40-day fast. None. Because Jesus was led by the Spirit. Wasn't led by one of the disciples. Wasn't led by his mother. Wasn't led by his brother. He was led by the Spirit into the desert. And the Bible says he hungered. He was out there 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says he hungered. So we understand that he was fasting. Mm-hmm. Amen. So the thing is this, he had a flesh and he fasted. Now, do you see him fasting prior to his crucifixion? No. No. Why? He's already defeated the devil. Mm-hmm. Now what he's got to defeat is his own flesh. He's got to keep it down. And did it rise up? Oh, yeah. I mean, he got to that cross. He said, now, Father, do I have to die? And you know what God told him? If you don't die, they don't have any hope. You're their only hope. If you don't die for their sins, you're the only perfect man that's on the earth right now. You're my final. I have no other choice. Yes, ma'am.
No, I was just.
He went back and prayed some more, and his flesh rose up again. He came back again and said, Father, is there any way I don't have to die? And his father said, there's no other way, man. I've exhausted my options. Mm-hmm. Third time he went back and he says, Father, can you remove this cup from me? Because I really don't want to be separated from you. I really don't want to go to hell for 3 days. I don't want to be tormented. And the reason why I say it that way is this, is sometimes as Christians, we take what he did very lightly. We take it too lightly. We don't fight for the things. And when I say fight, I'm not talking physically. I'm not talking mentally. I'm saying spiritually. Mm-hmm. And the tools that we give you, these tools enable you to fight the good fight. Mm-hmm. Why do we pray in the Spirit? Why do we pray in the Spirit? You pray in the Spirit to enforce the grace of God in your life, to edify yourself, to build you up. Now, let me ask you a question. I preached a message, I think. Was it last weekend we went to the prison? Mm-hmm. We went to the prison last weekend. I preached a message on what do you believe? And I missed the punchline because my point is that do you believe in praying in tongues? How many of you believe in praying in the Spirit here? Yes. How many of you are filled with the Holy Ghost? How many of you pray in the Holy Ghost? Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. So why don't you pray more? Because you don't believe. It's your flesh. You don't believe. See, here's the excuses that I hear. I don't have time to pray. I don't see any results when I pray. See, if you believe the word of God, the Bible says that when you pray, you're edified. It says when you pray, the grace of God is released in your life. So that's one of the disciplines. The other discipline we have is what? Private worship. How many believe that when you worship God, the presence of God comes to you? Well, if you believe that, why don't you worship more? Huh? Do you believe it? Do you really, really, really believe it? Because if you believe it, you'll worship more. You'll worship, especially when everything is going crazy, you'll worship God more. What's the other discipline we have?
Meditation by simulation.
Well, we haven't really studied that one. What's the other one we have?
Fasting.
What does fasting do? It puts the flesh in a spiritual position called death. Now, why is that so important? Because when you start believing God, your flesh is going to tell you, it's not going to work, it's not going to work, it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. Let me give you another example of your flesh. You decide, I'm going to pray in tongues. Mm-hmm. I'm going to spend an hour a day praying in tongues. You wake up in the morning. You go downstairs. You get poised to pray. Next thing you do is you wake up because you've been asleep for the last hour. The reason I know that, it's happened to me. Went down the next morning. I'm going to hit it again. I'm sorry, Jesus, but I'm going to get it this time. An hour later, I wake up and I'm going, oh, Lord, I did it again. Now, you're laughing at me, but you're really laughing at yourself. Because you've done the exact same thing. So why did I go to sleep those times? Because my flesh was trying to tell me and convince me that I don't need to pray. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all your flesh is telling you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
When you begin to fast, mm-hmm. I will promise you this. Mm-hmm. Your flesh will discover that Whataburger has hamburgers at price. Yeah. And you ain't had a Whataburger burger in a long time. Yeah. And then hear what the flesh will say. Well, listen. Just get that small one with no cheese. Okay, with no cheese, little lettuce, and I'll leave you alone. Uh-huh. You think that's what's going to happen?
No, he's a liar.
Nah, you're going to eat that small one, and then the flesh is going to go, well, since you already broke your fast, have you a double meat cheese now. Oh, you know I'm telling the truth.
Yes, sir.
You know I'm telling the truth. What is that? What is it? That's your flesh. That's your flesh. Flesh will try to, listen, flesh will rule your life as long as you let it. See, when my flesh tells me at nighttime, I'll wake up and I'm going, why can't I go back to sleep? That's my flesh. It wants me to spend my time tossing and turning. How many of you have been there before? Everybody's been there, man. And what do you know me to do? You get up, you go downstairs, and you go in the living room, and you turn the TV on, and you watch that thing for 3 or 4 hours, and you get so tired, you go to sleep. Why? So the next day, you're so tired, you don't want to pray. You don't want to fast. You're trying to find how you can get comfortable again because you're tired. You didn't get enough sleep last night. You're irritable. You've been there. I've been there. But when that thing wakes me up, you want to go, Father, you want something? What you need, God? You want to talk or something? Well, if you don't want to talk, I want to talk.
Amen.
And if you're not going to talk, I'm going to worship you for a while. Mm-hmm. You just sit there, I'm going to worship you for a while. He goes, go ahead, son, worship me. And I just start worshiping. I give you praise. I love you. I worship you. Then I get him so excited, he jumps in the bed with me and says, I love it. I love it. I love you. And I say, I love you more. He goes, I love you more. No, I love you more. I love you more, son. No, God, I love you more.
See, am I wrong when I call on Jesus? I know I have to get up early, a lot of mornings, and my body, as you say, my flesh, I struggle. I have pains and I hurt. But I say, come on, Jesus, just guide me, get me up today, get me where I need to be. So I should be asking the Father for that, or I can ask Jesus.
Oh, well, I'm not saying that. I just use the Father because that's who I've learned to.
I was just trying to clarify. It doesn't matter.
Listen, They're not worried about that. They don't care about that. I've heard people pray and they'll say, "I thank you, Father Jesus. I'm going." Now see. You're trying to touch all bases here. So you don't miss something. You don't have, listen, they understand where you are. And if you say that, I'm not mocking you. I'm just saying he's going to grow up. It doesn't matter to me. You can talk to Jesus. You can talk to the Father. We're right here next to each other. He's not going, "Father, they praise you more than they praise me." He doesn't get jealous. You know what he says? "Father, did you see of and worship you this morning?" He goes, "Yeah." He says, "Man, that is great." Yeah, he's growing up, isn't he? Yeah, he is. See, Jesus, what you did was a great thing. They don't need the glory. They have enough glory. They're not trying to get glory from each other. They compliment each other very well. They're not concerned with whether you pray to somebody. Now, I know what you're saying is, but I want to get this right. What's right is you have a relationship with one of them. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Have a relationship with both of them. No, that's wrong. Have a relationship with all three of them. Have a relationship with all three of them. Talk to them. Let them know you know who they are. Communicate with them. Now, if you start worshiping the Holy Ghost, you know what he'll do? He'll just gently tell you, "No, I'm down here to give him glory. So don't worship me. Worship him." Will he be mad about that? No. But getting back to fasting. See? Yes, ma'am?
Oh, I was just going to say the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. So if I had an issue with who I should worship or how I should do it, I just ask the Holy Spirit, how do I do this?
I don't know why I was going to make this short, but I don't know why I'm going long. I guess y'all must have been praying or something. Sure. Hallelujah.
Glory. Like 1,000 years.
But again, let me close out by saying this. Everybody, you need to pray and let the Holy Spirit lead you on how you should fast. If it's just one meal a day, if it's a half of a meal, you can live a fasted lifestyle. When you sit down, if you're going to eat tonight, instead of you getting two scoops of whatever you get, get one scoop. Instead of you eating a whole bowl, eat a half a bowl. Now, I'm not advocating wasting food. What I'm advocating is that you, using your own discretion, you fast. And there's all kinds of fasts. Again, you can do a juice fast. Well, the fast I do is that all I do is I drink a cup of coffee. I may have a Diet Coke that day, and that's all I have. And I'll go 3 days. But I want my flesh to rise up. And when my flesh is rising up during that fast, you know what I do? I get to worshiping the Father, man. And I tell him how much I love him. And guess what happens to my flesh? It shuts up. It has no choice. But now you have to establish yourself in private worship. This is why we taught you on praying in tongues. We taught you on private worship. Now we're teaching you on fasting. The next leg will be meditation by simulation. See, you want to hang in there with it so you can get all of this. I go in my prayer closet and I may start out praying in the spirit. And before I know it, I'm worshiping God. And I'll worship him for a while, then I'll get a nudge from the Holy Spirit. Now he wants you to spend time praying in tongues. Well, I'll pray in tongues. But what am I saying? I'm allowing him to lead and guide me, as she said earlier. I'm allowing the Holy Ghost to lead and guide me in that time. I'm not dictating it. I'm just yielding myself to whatever he wants to do. Okay? But again, there's all kinds of fast. There's not just one way to fast. There's multiple ways to fast, but just a little bit of fasting will put your flesh in a spiritual position called death. And you need to enforce the death that Jesus bought and paid for on the cross. Because that's why he did it for you. Again, you don't have to go on a 40-day fast. We're talking small fast, whatever you can do. I choose to do 3 days on and 2 days off. Sometimes my schedule is so dicey, I have to, make it work. But if I only fast one day and I eat something, I'll go, forgive me. He goes, I see what's going on. No problem. But the thing is, he's not judging me if I broke my fast or not. He's not judging me on that. You know what he's doing? He's saying, now you need to get that flesh under control. Mm-hmm. I've given you a way to get that flesh under control. You need to get it under control. Mm-hmm. There's going to come a point in time when the pressure of life's going to hit you and you're not going to know how to get it under control. And you're going to wonder, well, where am I? And I'm right there, but the flesh is just making you into a slave. Mm-hmm. Don't serve your flesh, folks. Mm-hmm. Don't serve your flesh. In the book of Romans, it says, who you choose to serve, what you choose to practice, that's who you serve. If you're going to practice sin, what you serve sin. You serve sin. But the thing is, I don't think anybody here wants to serve sin. You want to live unto righteousness. Amen. Well, again, what's going to keep you from doing that, what we're teaching now is that your flesh is a big component in that. Your flesh does not want you to obtain the promises of God. Your flesh does not want to see you walk in the things of God. Your flesh does not want you to become like Jesus. It doesn't want that. Amen. It does not want that. Sure, your flesh will let you go to church. Mm-hmm. Your flesh will let you carry a big Bible. Mm-hmm. Your flesh will let you have a Christian ringtone. Your flesh will let you have a Christian screensaver. It doesn't mind those kinds of things. Doesn't mind it. Doesn't mind it at all. Your flesh will allow you to play Christian music in your car. It doesn't mind that. But the moment you begin to live for God, the moment you tell God, I'm all in, your flesh, via the devils and demons behind it, is going to rise up and go, I don't think so. Not without a fight. Not without a fight. And I've gone through things in my body that I had to fight for more than just one day. How many have been around people that have the flu this season? Y'all ain't been around? They're all around me. And they're coughing and some of them ain't covering them. I don't care. I can't get that stuff. I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to receive it. I take 1 Peter 2:24 every day. How many of you know what 1 Peter 2:24 says? Himself bore my sin, my sicknesses, and diseases in his own body on the tree. That I am now who's dead. Dead where? Dead in my spirit to sin. That now I can live unto righteousness. And by his stripes I were healed. I were healed. I'm not going to be healed. I'm not am healed. I were healed. It happened 2,000 years ago. But you weren't sick 2,000 years ago. But I got healed 2,000 years ago. Did you know that you died over 2,000 years ago? But Pastor, I ain't but 30 years old. You died 2,000 years ago. Amen. Did you realize you were seated in heavenly places 2,000 years ago? Amen. But Pastor, I'm only 40 years old. You were seated in heavenly places 2,000 years ago. Why? Because in the portal of time, God has none. And God has no in eternity. There is no time. And God saw you there. Do you realize that every person in this room, every person in the world, God has a plan for them. Amen. Every single one. And if you die and never get the plan, it's not his fault. But that plan still exists. Those that are not born again, that plan still exists. For God so loved the world. Not the Christians, not the church. God so loved the world. Doesn't mean they loved him back. It just means he loved them. He loved them enough to send his son to the cross. He loved them enough to be able to create a plan for their lives. How many of you know who Brother Hagin is? Was. Brother Hagin was a pastor for 15 years, and God one day told him, I never called you to pastor. I called you to be an evangelist. 15 years. That, in other words, him being a pastor wasn't the call of God on his life.
Wow.
How do you get the plan of God for your life? The Bible says, you guys know Jeremiah 27 or 29:11. Okay. He knows the thoughts that he has for you. He knows the plans that he has for you. Well, if he's got the plan, how do you get it? Because you can't find it in the Bible. I ain't never seen Eric's name in the Bible before. I ain't seen Robert's name in the Bible before. So how does Robert and how does Eric get to understand or know what God's plan for them is? You can't get the plan unless you spend time with the man that made the plan. How do you spend time with the man that made the plan? Private worship, meditation by assimilation, praying in the spirit, and fasting. The reason I say it that way is because some of y'all don't do it. When I start preaching on fasting sometime, those of y'all that are fasting, you just grunt like, yeah, okay. But those of y'all that ain't fasting, you go, man, I don't want to think about that. Just not right now. Some of you right now are going, I'm going to do it in New Year's. I'm going to do it in New Year's. I'm going to do it in New Year's. New Year's, you're going to come and go. You know why? Because you're not making any plans to do it. The day it dropped in my heart to fast, I said, I'm doing it now. Because if I wait until the new year, I'm just putting it off. Let me start now. Let me just start now. And since I'm the one of the leaders of this ministry, I figure I may as well lead the way.
Amen.
So I'm not teaching you about fasting. I'm actually fasting. In fact, I went on my, this is my first day of a 3-day fast today. Yeah, well, we're going to fellowship in a minute. We'll fellowship. I'll give me a glass of water back there and I'll just be just peachy keen. Why are you chowing down on what? What do we have back there tonight? You know?
Some salad,
salad, whatever. Whatever it is, I don't really care. Yeah.
I promise I won't bring no more desserts.
You can bring all the desserts you want to bring. See, that's nothing, Jesus said. When you fast, he says, wash your head, wash your face. You know, don't appear as though you're fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Just live a normal life.
Amen.
You know, whether I told you or not, the only way you know I wasn't fasting, the reason why I'm saying it now is I go back there and you're going, Pastor, you ain't eating? What's wrong with the food? Ain't nothing wrong with the food. I'm fasting. So that's why you got to tell people. Well, should you not let the right hand know what the left hand's doing? Come on now, folks. Now we're getting legalistic. You can tell people that you're fasting. Just don't brag about fasting. Don't go, you know what? I'm on the last day of a 3-day fast. Do you fast? It is, but my point is that you haven't broken any cardinal sin. You haven't committed any cardinal sin if you tell somebody you're fasting, as long as you don't boast about it. But see, that's just something that we've always heard, that you can't let anybody know you're fasting. Man, when I started fasting and I wasn't eating, people were going, are you fasting? Well, what do you do then? Lie? No, I ain't fasting. You see what I'm saying? What do you do? Yes, I am fasting, you know. And you try to not make a big deal about it, but yes, I'm on a small fast. Now, really, I'm going to tell you this. I'm really ashamed how much I got to fast because I see a lot of flesh. I see a lot of flesh. Not in you, me. Now, I'm not looking at your flesh. I'm looking at my own flesh. And the thing is this. I don't want you. I'm not boasting on my flesh. I hope you ain't either. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I wish we could have been in different conditions. I wish that I had that message more organized than that, but I got the job done, he said. Praise the Lord.